Chapter 2. Wrong Place, Wrong Time. As the four got up to leave, Vala glanced towards where the trio of hooded figures had been, but they had moved. Then she saw a flash of black as the trio darted between the patrons. She ducked back into the shadows, wanting nothing to do with whatever was about to happen. As the group she'd been watching began splitting up, the hooded figures attacked, leaping towards him with blades flashing. As they moved, the dark elf got a better look at one of them. She didn't get a look at his face, but she saw that, under his cloak, everything he was wearing was perfect for both stealth and combat. He wore dark, well-fitted clothes, supple leather boots, and light armor. She saw multiple daggers sheathed across his body. Before anyone had time to react, one member of the trio threw a knife. It sailed through the air and stuck deep in Heldar's chest. The halfling collapsed to the floor as all three rushed toward the group.
"You wanted a fight, Orith!"
the dwarf yelled, brandishing his axe.
"Now you've got one!"
A second dagger flew towards them, aimed at Orith this time. It impaled him in the shoulder, but the half-orc snarled and ripped it out. He flung it back, and it hit one assassin in the thigh. Screams rang out as patrons began noticing what was happening. One of the assassins leapt towards Beodin, but was met with the blade of the dwarf's axe. The dark elf shrank back, keeping a hand on the hilt of her sword. The other two didn't last long against the half-orc's battle axe. With two clean, precise sweeps, he cut them down, staining one wall with a spray of blood. The remaining trio circled up, glancing around for more trouble. More came. Two hooded assassins charged out of the fleeing crowd. They each held two daggers ready for combat. With practiced ease, they threw the weapons, sending four deadly blades spinning through the air. One blade hit Beodin in the torso. Thankfully for the dwarf, the mail shirt he wore kept the dagger from injuring him. Orith wasn't so lucky. A dagger lodged in his chest, sinking deep and piercing his heart. He swayed for a second, then a second dagger pierced his throat. He coughed once, a harsh, wet sound, then collapsed to the ground as his eyes rolled up in his head. The fourth dagger flew at the Thrakai, who had knelt for a moment to check on the fallen halfling. He tried to pull out of the way as he stood up, but it still grazed his arm. It didn't hurt him, however, since the poorly aimed blade glanced off his scales. Although she knew she should get out as quickly as possible, the dark elf was transfixed on the fight, wanting to see how it would end. Even though most of her attention was locked on the fray, she saw another figure come running across the tavern. She didn't get a good look at him, but she could tell that he was a young man, dressed in shades of green and brown, with a quiver on his back and a longbow in his hand. He leapt up on a deserted table, sending a deck of cards and a couple of half-full mugs flying. Sure of his footing in only a second, he knocked an arrow and shot one of the assassins in the back. Another attacker ran up behind him about to strike, but Beodin threw his axe, narrowly missing the archer as he took down the assassin.
"Was that meant for me, dwarf?" the archer called.
"No, but I wouldn't be too upset if it got you."
Although the dark elf realized that the two were allies, the amount of animosity in the dwarf's voice startled her. The two remaining assassins jumped onto a table to attack Varun, who was now the most obvious threat. Reacting quickly, the archer shot one of them out of the air before he could land. His body hit the floor, an arrow through his heart. The Thrakai breathed a jet of flames that lit up the room, momentarily dazzling both the attacker and the dark elf, who had her short sword drawn, ready to defend herself if necessary. The remaining assassin landed awkwardly, trying to pat out the flames licking up the side of his cloak, and wound up tripping off the edge of the table he tried to land on. Varun caught him by the throat and casually slammed the back of his head into a nearby pillar, knocking him unconscious. The tavern was nearly empty, but two more people pushed through the last group of stragglers and began sprinting towards the battle just as the dark elf was recovering her sight. Before she could get a look at them, another figure appeared behind Beodin and Varun. Without thinking of the consequences, she joined the fray, jumping onto the table. She was able to use it as a step to launch herself and her sword onto the attacker and drove the blade into his chest. Without missing a beat, Varun turned and lifted her off the ground by the back of her tunic, unintentionally pulling off her hood as he did so. Her long white hair tumbled out, a stark contrast to her purplish-gray skin. Realizing what she was, and unable to tell if she was friend or foe, the Thrakai threw her onto the table. The impact was hard enough to make her ears ring, and it knocked all the air out of her lungs. The archer jumped off the table, scanning the room for more threats. Even though she was having a hard time getting a breath and her vision was blurred from the jolt, the dark elf was aware enough to get a good look at him. He was a wood elf. His long blonde hair, which reached just past his shoulder blades, was sun-bleached, and his pale skin was tanner than that of most Thalassar, suggesting that he spent a lot of time outside. He had his hair tied up in a simple half-ponytail, but a few strands had gotten free and waved in his face as he moved. The light of the fire was reflected in his emerald green eyes as he looked around warily. He was wearing a dark green tunic and a dark cloak, perfect for blending in among trees. The light leather armor he had on was slightly worn, but it looked well cared for. Seeing that there were no more threats, he knelt and pulled the cloak off of one of the assassins he'd shot, revealing purple-gray skin so dark it was almost coal black, white hair cut short, and lifeless red eyes.
Dumarin!
The other two figures had gotten to the group. The speaker was a moon elf. Her jet-black hair, which was mostly loose, was braided in places with thin silver wires, accenting her pale skin. Her bright silver eyes were cold and filled with anger and pain. She was wearing a navy blue cloak, a few shades darker than her beautiful embroidered dress. She had a bow slung over her shoulder and a quiver on her hip. Beside her stood a human man with dark, caramel-tinted skin, warm brown eyes, and floppy, chestnut-colored hair. He was wearing a loose, dandelion yellow tunic, brown pants, and a maroon cloak. He had a silvery rapier on his hip and a lute slung over his shoulder.
"Orith and Heldar are gone,"
the Mary Annan continued, kneeling by the bodies of her fallen companions.
"There's nothing I can do."
Beodin muttered something in Dwarvish, likely a curse, before switching back to the common language to ask,
"Now how are we going to get into the hideout?"
The Thrakai studied his prisoner for a moment. His gold dragon-like eyes were calm but wary. On the floor beside him, the attacker that he'd stunned began to stir. His eyes opened, glowing red in the shadow of his hood, which had slid back far enough for his face to be visible. Seeing the dark elf Varun held, they blazed with a sudden fury. In an adrenaline-powered burst of movement, he tackled her, knocking her out of the Thrakai's grasp and onto the floor.
"Exile! I remember that scar," he hissed, tracing the pale line she bore on her cheek with his finger. The scar reached from her temple to a bit above her jaw. "Did you think we'd forget you? You should have died years ago."
In one smooth motion, he pulled a thin black knife out of his boot and held it to her throat.
"You've cost us way too much time and money, and I'm done with it. If I'm going to be killed by these filthy peasants, I can at least take you with me."
He raised his knife, ready to strike. But before he could, his body jerked and his eyes went wide. He fell limp. Varun's greatsword was impaled through his back. Dark blood pooled on the floor as his knife slipped from his lifeless hand. Silence fell as the Thrakai stood over her. Then, to everyone's surprise, he leaned down and pulled her to her feet. He held her against one of the wooden support pillars, which was preferable to him having instantly killed her, but didn't stop her from trying to break free.
"You're not one of them, are you?"
he asked, ignoring her attempt to pry his hand away. She noticed his scales were oddly warm, which puzzled her a little, but that was the least of her concerns at that second. She scoffed.
"What's it matter to you?" "He called you an exile," the Thrakai noted. "It doesn't matter what he called her,"
the Mary Annan snapped.
"She's a Dumarin. You can't trust them. They're monsters."
"Caelith, wait." The archer grabbed her arm as he lunged towards Varun, dropping his bow as he tried to hold the angry moon elf back.
"Let me go, Talmer," she snapped.
"Calm down," the wood elf, presumably Talmer, continued. "Let everyone question her for a moment. Maybe she knows something." Kayla stopped struggling, but she didn't drop her gaze. Her silver eyes were locked on the dark elf's face. The young human turned to regard the captive dark elf. Hey, maybe she isn't so bad. He flashed her a slightly flirty smile. I, for one, don't think you're a monster. For one thing, monsters don't have names. I'd be willing to bet you've got one, and it's probably as pretty as you are. If you tell me it, and maybe a little bit about you, I might be able to get this brute to let you go. It wasn't the tactic she had expected, but he may have had success with this method before. However, it was not going to work on her, and one of his companions immediately took offense.
Damien, really?
Caelith broke free of Talmer and slapped the human hard across the face.
This creature is nothing more than a senseless killer, and you want her name? What is wrong with you?
Damien grimaced, holding his hand over his face. Varun glanced at Caelith, but he didn't say anything to her. The Thrakai seemed to know, or at least guess, why she lashed out like that.
Caelith, calm down. I know what happened to you, but we both know that this one had nothing to do with that. Or this attack, for that matter.
The Thalassar took a step towards her, raising his hands in a soothing gesture. He clearly knew what was going on.
I have no love for the Dark Elves, but her story might be interesting. She was probably just in the wrong place and got involved without thinking. If we want to know anything about her or what she knows about this mess, we might as well start with her name.
You can talk, right, Dumarin?
Beodin crossed his arms. His gruff voice held a wary edge.
Tell us your name.
I'd be able to talk better if I was able to breathe.
The Dark Elf's voice was barely a whisper. Varun, realizing he'd been holding her by her throat and had been a bit less gentle than he'd intended, immediately dropped her, looking slightly embarrassed. She fell to her knees, gasping for air.
My name is Vala Nariza,
she said quietly.
I don't know what happened here tonight, but I had no part in it. I was just here to find work. And what kind of work would that be?
Suspicion dripped from Kayla's voice.
Assassination? I had nothing to do with the group that attacked you, if that's what you're not so subtly hinting at.
Vala got to her feet, pushing a lock of her long white hair away from her eyes.
Oh, really?
Caelith was about to continue, but the Thrakai cut her off.
Wait, we can continue this later.
His low voice was still calm and quiet, not revealing any sign of how he felt about the situation.
Right now, we need someone to get into that place.
So now you believe the map is real?
Beodin interrupted.
Where's all the doubt from earlier?
Two of us died tonight, after we got it. Don't you think that means something?
So, you think our man was followed?
Damien guessed.
I don't know what to think, but that seems likely. Also, Caelith, before you accuse her of anything, just remember that Vala never attacked us. If she hadn't killed that last assassin, one of us would be dead right now.
Varun spoke slowly, picking his words carefully. He was trying to defuse the situation, and it was clear that was going to be a difficult task.
We need someone to do Heldar's part of this job, and I don't see many available options right now.
He gestured around the tavern, which was now occupied only by them and the bartender.
We don't have enough time to look for anyone else, so I think Vala might be our best option. Our only option.
No!
The Moon Elf's expression was a mix of disbelief and anger.
She's a Dumarin. I know how they operate, through lies, false promises. You can't trust them, any of them. She's going to turn on us the moment she sees a chance.
I'm with Varun, Damien said, taking a careful step away from Caelith to avoid being slapped again. Beodin nodded in agreement.
I do not like it, but he's right, Talmer said.
She has not done anything to hurt us. We should be thanking her right now. He dropped his voice to whisper to Caelith, but Vala's keen hearing still allowed her to pick up his words.
I know how you feel about this.
But she isn't one of the ones who hurt your parents. Killed, Kaelith hissed, keeping her voice low as well. The word you're looking for is killed. Why should I help you?
Vala challenged. She picked her sword up from where it had fallen and wiped it clean on her dead foe's cloak before sheathing it. She knew she had just jumped into a situation that could very easily go the wrong way. Everything was happening far too fast, and she knew that staying was a bad idea, but she was still curious about the job they had been discussing.
"We'll pay you," Varun offered. "It's a simple job, and it pays well."
"Oh, very tempting offer." Vala rolled her eyes, putting a hand on her hip.
"I need details. How much are you paying me? And what are you paying me for? If this attack here tonight had anything to do with your simple job, there better be a good reward. I'm not just going to jump right in and do something like fight an army in exchange for a handful of copper pieces."
"Look, sweetheart." Damien slid his arm around Vala's shoulder. His face, not to mention that cocky grin, was way too close to her. "We'll tell you the plan, give you a little down payment, and then maybe I can get us a nice meal together as part of the reward. Sound good?"
Vala slapped his hand away and glared at him, angry sparks in her violet eyes.
"Hands off!"
The human started pulling back, but it only took him a second to regain his composure. She had a feeling he was used to this working far better.
"Oh, fiery. I like that," he said, stepping back a bit.
"You're hopeless, Damien," Kayla sighed, covering her face with her hands.
"Is it really that impossible for you to focus for 3 seconds? Also, there were more than a dozen girls you could have been flirting with earlier, and you have to start hitting on her?"
Vala stepped away from the human as Varun motioned for the group to come back to the table.
"Why don't we just slow down for a moment and explain the job?" he said, as the rest of the group clustered around the map.
"We'll pay you, and we'll pay well. But you're right. You should know the details first. Beodin?"
"All right. Listen up, Dumarin. I'm only going to say this once."
Beodin pressed down a corner of the map that had rolled itself up and fixed Vala with an intense gaze.
"There have been reports of people going missing, mostly elves and humans, and we've been hired to figure out what's going on. We found one group that's responsible for these missing people, and we've been trying to track them down. It might not be related, but a couple of the smaller towns have recently had unexpected changes in leadership. These are the towns that are reporting the most missing people. We think that this group has been taking over smaller towns and is preparing to start taking larger ones. These takeovers don't seem very serious on their own, but our employer thinks there's something worse going on. We've just been given a possible location for the place we think these people are being taken to, and we need to get in and figure out what's going on."
"I have been hearing reports of odd creatures," Talmer cut in. "Monsters, some say, that look like they were one race but are slowly turning into another. An orc with horns or a tail, a human with wings, an elf with dragon scales, or other odd mutations. I have a feeling that these are somehow connected to the missing people we have heard about. If these takeovers are somehow related, we could have a real threat on our hands."
"But if it's as serious as you're implying, why not just tell someone in power?" Vala asked.
"Because we have no real evidence and no idea how powerful this threat truly is. Also, we are far from any real help. Even if the king himself is worried about this, we are on the opposite side of Calder. It will take weeks to get news to the capital, or even one of the closest embassies. And even if someone did want to do something, it would take a long time before anyone came out to investigate. The takeovers usually start with the leader of the town dying. Not an assassination, but usually a convenient accident, like a wolf attack, or a fire started by a careless housemaid. Suspicious, but not quite implicating enough. Then, the new leader starts making changes, like letting in mercenary groups, subtly cutting off communication, and stockpiling supplies. It's all very secretive, but it's unsettling, especially since most of the missing reports have come from these occupied towns. It may be a big problem as we suspect, but it could also be a lot of unlikely coincidences happening at the same time. We're trying to track this group in order to get the proof we need. They're holed up in a forest a couple of days' journey from here. Varun placed a claw on the red mark on the map. Here's where we've been told the main hideout is, and we need to get inside and figure out what's going on. That's what we need you for. And don't worry, you'll be paid well. It's simple. You find a way to sneak into their base and look around. You seem to know how to move around without being seen, so I don't think this will be too difficult for you. If everything goes well, there will be no fighting. At best, no one will ever notice you broke in. After you report back what you find, we're planning to rendezvous with our employer, tell him what we found, and go from there. Just a quick in and out.
You really trust her? Caelith muttered. I know you never think of your own safety, but you don't have to drag the rest of us down too.
We'll be fine. There are five of us and one of her. Even Beodin can see that those are bad odds, Damien quipped, taking advantage of an opportunity to insult the dwarf.
Watch your mouth, human, Beodin warned. Or Caelith might just end up having to use those herbs she always carries around on you.
Easy. Both of you. Varun gave both a look before turning back to Vala. Are you in?
She raised an eyebrow at him. You never told me exactly how much I'm getting paid.
In your situation, I think you'd take a job for as little as 10 copper.
Caelith gestured to Vala's clothes.
You look like you've been living on the street for years.
Vala looked down at herself. She knew she didn't look great, but it wasn't that bad. She was wearing a simple gray shirt and gray pants under a fitted, sleeveless black tunic and black boots. Her tunic was long, reaching her knees, with double-sided slits that let her move freely. Her outfit was worn, but mostly clean, except for the blood that had been spilled that evening. She also had on black leather vambraces and a sword belt, but the rest of her armor was hidden in her bag. Compared to Caelith, who looked like royalty in her blue dress, and Varun in his scarred but still well-cared-for armor, she did look quite rough. Beodin, however, didn't look much better. His boots and riveted mail armor had obviously seen many years of use, and his cloak was tattered around the edges. Talmer's outfit and gear looked worn but clean and well-maintained. The human, Damien, looked fancier than most of the people who frequented the tavern, but his outfit wasn't extravagant by any means. Vala shot Caelith a glare, but said nothing.
Here's part of the payment, Varun offered, holding out a small cloth bag. We'll give you 50 silver pieces now, and 100 more when this is all over. Deal?
Deal. Vala was surprised at the amount offered, but she wasn't about to turn it down or question it too much just yet. Welcome to our dysfunctional little family, Damien quipped, flashing her another bright, flirty smile.
Come on, Scales, Beodin said. Help me with these.
He picked up one of the dead Doomerin and began making his way towards the door, seeming unbothered by the weight. Varun slung one body over his shoulder and grabbed another by the strap across the leather cuirass the Doomerin wore, apparently ignoring the slight insulting nickname. Caelith scooped up Heldar's body, cradling him as though she would a child, while Damien and Talmor took Orith. They were having a little trouble with the half-orc's weight, but they were able to manage. Vala, wanting to avoid drawing the group's ire, grabbed the other dark elf's wrist and began tugging him toward the door.
I'm really sorry about all of that, Varun said, flipping a gold piece to Karnak, who had been glaring at the group ever since the attack. He seemed surprised and happy to receive the gold, and even happier to see the group leave.
Hey, little one, he called to Vala. Stay safe.
She didn't answer, but she gave him a small smile. He was one of the few people who didn't have a negative reaction once they found out what she was. As they stepped out of the tavern, Vala pulled her hood up, hiding her face again. The cold, damp air was a sharp contrast to the warmth of the tavern.
The dirt road had turned to mud from the inconsistent drizzle, and lanterns were being lit in shop windows. It was lightly raining and started to get dark, but Caelith insisted on taking time to bury Orith and Heldar before doing anything else. Damien grabbed a shovel that he'd found propped up against the sidewall of the tavern, and they took a few minutes to bury the fallen in a small clump of woods outside town. While this was happening, Varun and Beodin took care of the rest of the Dark Elves. Vala stood back, feeling out of place. She glanced at the group again, trying to figure out who they were. Although she was somewhat certain of their names, the evening had gone from a quiet night in the tavern to a chaotic blur in less than 5 minutes, and she had very little idea of who the people around her truly were. She had learned to read people at a young age, and she could tell that Caelith had been especially close to Heldar. Although she was uncertain, she guessed that Talmer cared much more than he was letting show. The others were staying out of the way, and she guessed that none of them had been very close to either of the fallen, but they were still being respectful. For Beodin and Damien, that may have only been to avoid causing a problem. She began absentmindedly playing with a piece of her hair, too overwhelmed to try and figure out much of anything. Each spike of pain was almost a comfort now, a reassurance that he could still feel. He was strapped to what he was pretty sure was some sort of operating table in a cold stone room, unsure of what was to happen next. It had been like this since he woke up. He didn't have any clue how long ago that had been. It felt like an eternity. Shards of purplish-black crystal were sticking into his arms, legs, chest, and neck, focusing whatever dark magic was being used on him. His vision blurred, and black spots swam before his eyes as another spell rocked his mind and body with pain. It felt like his blood had turned to fire as the dark energy swirled around him. The pain seemed to last forever, but he knew it was just minutes. The burning feeling dulled and slowly turned into an icy numbness that was somehow just as painful as the fire it had replaced. His vision refocused, and he looked down at his hands, which were held tight to the table with thick leather straps. The shards sticking out of his body had liquefied from the intensity of the last spell. A dark crystalline substance began to form over his hands and forearms, connecting the shards, and was spreading across his chest. Another wave of pain crashed over him, but this time there was fear, too. He knew that he could handle pain, but this black crystal was something different, something worse. It had already covered his chest and was reaching up to cover his face when he felt the sharp jab of something else piercing him. This time, it was in his neck. His vision blurred and started to close in. The pain faded to an empty numbness. His head fell back against the table, and he sank into the darkness, unable to resist.